Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY for Community Conversations. Today we continue in our four-week series covering the contested local races that voters will see on the ballot for the November 3rd election. Today we're covering the District 1 Bonner County Commissioner race and have a joint interview with the Republican incumbent Stephen Bradshaw and his Democratic opponent, Steve Johnson. They speak on a number of issues, including the county lawsuit against the city over the Festival at Sandpoint gun policy at Memorial Field, the proposed asphalt batch plant in Sagal, as well as taxes, roads, and other matters. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. We'll get on to our interview in just a moment, but first, here's some information about our election series covering the contested races this year. Our first interviews covered the Idaho legislature seats for Senate and House Seat A in District 1, and that aired September 24th. Last Thursday, October 1st, we covered the Bonner County Sheriff's race. Today's the District 1 Bonner County Commissioner race, and we'll conclude our election series next Thursday, October 8th, covering the race for District 1 Legislature, House Seat B, with the three candidates for that position, Republican Sage Dixon, Democrat Stephen Hallett, and the write-in candidate Dan Rose. That's next Thursday, October 8th. Remember, if you've missed any of the live broadcasts, you can always hear recorded podcasts anytime on our website. Go to www.krfy.org and click to the podcast page. Now here's a bit of information about voting. Due to the COVID-19 virus, this year's election might seem a little more confusing. But in Idaho, our general election will actually be just like a regular election year. Election day is Tuesday, November 3rd, and there will be in-person voting at your regular precinct polling place. Due to the coronavirus, many more folks may choose to vote by mail with an absentee ballot. If you wish to vote absentee, you may request your absentee ballot right now up until October 23rd. But it's helpful for the election office to get your ballot request in early. You must make sure that your absentee ballot is returned by November 3rd. You can request a ballot by going to Idaho's official elections website at idahovotes.gov. At idahovotes.gov, you may also register to vote or check to ensure that you are registered, as well as look up your polling place. And finally, voters have the option to go vote in person early, before Election Day, at the Bonner County Elections Office at 1500 Highway 2 in Sandpoint. A good resource locally for voters is the Sandpoint Online Election Central, where there are details for voting and registration, as well as information on all the candidates with links to their websites, plus links to these KRFY podcasts as well. You can find the Election Central at sandpointonline.com, or just go directly to the page at www.sandpointelections.com. And with that, here's today's talk with the candidates for Bonner County Commissioner District 1, Stephen Bradshaw and Steve Johnson. We're speaking now with Stephen Bradshaw. He's the Republican incumbent for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. Stephen, thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Happy to be here.
And we're also speaking with Steve Johnson. He's the Democratic candidate for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. Steve Johnson, thank you for being here.
Yes, and thank you for having us.
And the two Steves, so I'll try to we'll try to keep everybody straight here, and I'll go with Stephen Bradshaw and Steve Johnson, just so we're clear on who's speaking at any given time, since this is going to be airing over the radio. To get started, I'd like to ask each of you to take 2 or 3 minutes to tell the voters about your background and experience and qualifications you think are helpful for the position of county commissioner. And also, if you would, answer the question, why are you running for office? Stephen Bradshaw, why don't we start with you?
Okay, well, coming up on the end of my second year as commissioner, it's been a great learning experience. Something new comes up every day. Been a very interesting year this year. But I think we've accomplished a lot. Our county is running more efficient than ever before. This would be another year that we didn't increase property taxes. We had a small increase in waste management last year, but we're pretty level and flat across the board this year. So nice to be a part of no tax increase, and would would love opportunity to continue that forward.
And why are you running for commissioner again, running for re-election, actually?
I feel like there's still a lot of things I'd like to complete. Built a new EMS station there on Kootenai Cutoff. It'll be occupied in about 2 to 3 weeks. It'll be finished up. And then once we get the other one done, then that will relieve the county of a $6,300 a month rent that they're paying on the building. And we will utilize the buildings we already own. And so that'll save taxpayer dollars and provide better EMS service.
Okay. Well, Steve Johnson, same question to you. If you could take a couple of minutes to tell us about your background and experience that you think is helpful or would be helpful for the position of county commissioner, and why are you running for office?
Okay. Well, I'm Steve Johnson. I was raised here in Bonner County on the family farm that I live on now out at Sagal, and loved growing up here and loved it so much I wound up living my whole life here so far. I'm running for commissioner because I'm concerned about the lawsuit against Memorial Field and Festival and City of Sandpoint and using taxpayer money to fund that lawsuit. I'm concerned about the divisiveness that seems to have come into the county the last couple, 3 years, much more so than anything I remember up to that point. I'm concerned about the rural character. I live on a family farm, and I don't want any asphalt plant or any other industry plopping down next to my little piece of paradise. And those are probably the three main reasons that I'm running.
Okay. Well, you kind of got into my next question here. I was going to ask for main issues that you think are most important. So you covered that. Stephen Bradshaw, I will put that question to you. What do you think the most important issues are? You mentioned that you do want to continue work on the EMT building.
The EMS buildings, yeah.
EMS.
We've owned the building across the street from the county office for years, and the back half of it is ideal for ambulance service. It's already used to be a truck shop when Northern Lights had it, so there's already a floor drain in there. There's already a firewall on that end of the building, and we're waiting for the engineers to come back with because the building's been there so long, there's hardly any records of it. And so as soon as the engineers get through with their work and find out what needs to be updated or changed to meet code, then we will proceed with that one. And that will take $6,300 a month out of the county budget, free it up for a road and bridge or whatever that we're just paying. You know, when you pay rent, you get nothing back when you move. It's not an investment, it's an expense. And if you already own the property in the building, it would be foolish not to utilize that, I would think, if you're paying rent somewhere. And so we'd like to go forward with that one, and that's on the burner for this next year. So that's where we're headed there. Lots of other things. Road and Bridge is getting a lot more miles done per year with what they've got. And all three of us have been here a long time, and we know that our roads are better now than they've ever been, but we're always going to have the spring breakup, and we're always going to have the late summer dry, can't grade it because there's no moisture in it problem. And so we're trying to pave a little more road every year, and the more roads we get paved, that frees up maintenance costs to pave more roads the next year. So it's an ongoing process, lots of miles of roads in Bonner County, and everybody wants theirs done. But, you know, you do what can be done, and that's all the time. You know, road construction time is short in Idaho. So they
because of the seasons, yes.
Yeah, the seasons, and so they try to get as much done as they can per season, and so they're making headway. They're getting a little better every year, and it takes time, but mostly it takes money.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Those are the things.
Well, thanks for that, Stephen Bradshaw, and we'll actually come back around and dig into probably all the things that you both have mentioned a little bit more here. But you, Stephen Bradshaw, you mentioned early on that it's been an interesting year, and I think everybody would second that, no matter where you stand and on
yeah.
politics. my question would be, following up on that idea, how have the COVID protections affected county business, and do you feel the governor's staged plan for reopening that we're currently working our way through right now, with cases still popping up at a pretty consistent rate across the state? Now, Idaho is one of the is got a higher per capita rate than a lot of states for the people that have contracted COVID. Stephen Bradshaw, why don't you give us your take on the way the state has been handling the COVID crisis?
I think the governor dropped the ball on it from day one. But, you know, to his credit, when this first came up, it looked like it was going to be, you know, it could be a really, really bad thing. Anytime there's a threat of a pandemic, it's has the potential to go bad at any given moment. And as it progressed forward, we saw more things coming out that this is not going to be as bad as it seems. And I've worked with several doctors and followed a lot of research on this. And we're fortunate to live where we do. North Idaho is its own little paradise. Like Stephen said a while ago. And it didn't hit Bonner County like it has a lot of other counties. Probably Boise, the biggest, because it has the largest population. But I'd like a little honesty with Panhandle Health District, too. You know, we get an email every morning from her, from Laura Whalen here on the county website, and it says, X number of new cases confirmed or probable. Well, now how many of them are confirmed and which ones are probable? Everybody that's left the house since January 1st is a probable. So, you know, give me an honest, straight answer. And they won't do that. And what else they won't do, which has always been kind of curious to me, is how come nobody caught the regular flu this year? You know, it may just be me, but that just seems kind of suspicious. I'm just saying. Does it sound odd to you?
Okay. Well, Steve Johnson. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to finish?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Steve Johnson, same question to you. How do you feel the governor and the state overall has handled the COVID-19 precautions and what would you see how that might impact the county?
Well, I fully support Governor Little. I think he's got our best interests at heart. He's a what I would call an establishment Republican who believes in responsibility and maintaining safety for all of the people here. And I think he's done just a great thing, taking the advice of the experts. And all of us have. All of us have acquaintances with their own opinions, but I'm a firm believer in science. And if the vast majority of the scientists are issuing guidelines, either through Panhandle Health or CDC or whatever group it might be, it's the responsible and the sensible thing to do to fall in support and help them out. And even though we as individuals are fortunate to be in this paradise and somewhat insulated. The tourist season, you look at any parking lot, Walmart or wherever, a good number of the cars are out of state. And how are we protecting the most vulnerable among us? I mean, that's a pretty good mark of a society. How do you protect the elderly? How do you protect the disabled? How do you help to make sure that everyone's as safe as possible? And I think it's pretty silly to make it into a political thing where if you don't wear a mask and make fun of it, then somehow you're a good guy. And if you go ahead and follow the protocol, somehow you're not a good guy, I guess, or not very macho or something. Anyway, I've got pretty strong feelings. I think we should be following Panhandle Health District and making sure all our people are safe.
Okay. Well, let's turn to another issue now. And actually, you referenced it, Steve Johnson, as one you thought was important. And that is, it's been one of the more hotly debated issues, and that's the county commissioners and the sheriff initiated a lawsuit against the city of Sandpoint last year because city policy allows the festival at Sandpoint to ban guns at its concerts at Memorial Field. Last month, the city won a summary judgment in the first district court, and now it's actually seeking reimbursement from the county for its expenses. And I would let's start with you, Stephen Bradshaw, since you have been in the county seat. Do you support or oppose what the county position has been in the lawsuit?
I fully support it. I'm the one that brought it forward. Daryl Wheeler was put in a compromised position along with Corey Coons and his police officers when they were told to arrest people for something that's not against the law in Idaho, and then you go and take them to the county jail. It's the sheriff's responsibility to house them, and now you're asking him to house somebody that's been arrested for something that's not against the law by state, and then you're asking our county prosecutor to prosecute somebody that for doing something that wasn't against the law. And so what happens, you put the police officer that did the arrest in a compromised position because now you've asked him to perform his duties outside the bounds of the law, which opens him up to a personal liability suit, where up to that point, he's immune to lawsuit, naming him in particular. But once he steps outside the bounds of the hand of the law, then he becomes liable to personal lawsuit. And so you've put a lot of people in a compromised position, and all we ask was that we have, you know, the sheriff sees a problem with this. So city, let's sit down and have a conversation. They would not sit down and have a conversation. Jeff Conley personally went over and asked them to let's all come to the table and talk about this because you're putting both police departments in a compromised place here, and they would have no part of it. So emails were sent. They wouldn't respond. So we filed a letter of intent with a copy of the lawsuit and a time period within which they could respond. They chose not to respond, so we filed the lawsuit. They still did not respond. And so after some time, the city attorney finally responded. All of that could have been avoided had the mayor just said, well, God, we wasn't aware that there was a problem. We need to look at this and see what, you know, get some clarity on what the law says. And so any expense that's been incurred is 100% falls on the city council in Rogstad, because they had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to come to the table and discuss it and say, let's call the attorney general and see what their opinion is on this. And they never would respond without going through the court. How do you have a conversation with someone who won't talk to you?
Okay. Well, Steve Johnson, you identified this as a issue that you think is important. What is your take on it?
Well, first off, I think it's interesting that whenever there's two sides to a story and the one side said it's completely the other side's fault, that doesn't sound to me like there was much willingness to sit down at a table and negotiate. It hardly ever is all one side's fault. So they maybe they could have been doing something different. But I guess my biggest question is, when was the public input on this lawsuit? When were the meetings to let people say how they felt about spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of their taxpayer money that they thought was going to go for road and bridge and wound up going to out-of-town lawyers? And why in the world didn't they file as individuals, the commissioners? If there was that strong a feeling, what possessed them to use county taxpayer money instead of their own money? There's another lawsuit pending, as I understand it, and those individuals did the right thing. They filed as individuals. I don't know where it came from that you can use taxpayer money for something that, in my opinion, is an individual belief. Mm-hmm. What else do I need to say about that? just the public input. Why was the public never informed? I'm fairly diligent about trying to stay informed on things that are going on. I never heard anything about it until it smashed into the paper. And I don't think that's a good way to involve the people of the county.
Okay, Steve Johnson, thanks for that. I do want to mention that if you guys want to make a rebuttal, like Mr. Bradshaw, if you'd like to make another comment, we can allow some more time for that.
Okay, well, I'd like to invite Mr. Johnson to look up Idaho Code Statute Number 18701, which states that the sheriff's responsibility is to house and jail anyone that's arrested within his jurisdiction, and if he does not do so, he is subject to fine himself plus up to a year in his own jail. And so he is put in a compromised position when the city has placed a deal in effect that if someone gets arrested there for carrying on public property, which is protected by Idaho state code, then now he's been asked to house somebody that's been arrested for something that's not against the law. That's why the issue came up. It had nothing to do with the Second Amendment lawsuit that was filed after ours. That was a personal thing on the personal thing. The elected official's job is to serve the public and look out for their best interest. And my question would be, how much of your constitutional rights are you willing to give up for free? Because anybody that's ever gave up their rights has never got them back. You look at the history of any nation in the history of man, and when people lost their rights, they were never given back. And so what price do we put on our personal rights and our freedom? And that's what this was about. This was the city issuing a lease agreement for a short term to somebody. And in that, they agreed to give them the right to ban firearms on public property, which is strictly prohibited by state law. And it saddens my heart that Judge Haynes kicked the ball down the road and wouldn't take a stand and say, well, this is what the Idaho statute actually says. We need legislation to redefine that and address if you lease public property to somebody. But at this point, that amendment does not exist. And so you have to go by the law that's written the way it is on that day. And takes us back, you know, at what price do we start giving up our freedom and let somebody issue socialist law at will?
Steve Johnson, would you like to respond on this issue of the lawsuit?
Yes. I think it's not good leadership to be spending taxpayer money on what feels to me and seems to me and to a lot of people like a like an individual attitude about socialism or whatever. We don't need taxpayer money being spent on somebody's ideology. It's what's best for the people. And that taxpayer money was to go for roads and bridges. And that's what I anticipated it to be for. And without any public input, without any meetings of any kind that I know of, this was decided to spend money. And maybe, I don't know, it almost sounds in the newspaper like they're talking about an appeal, which is going to be more money of taxpayer money, possibly pulling the same thing again next year. And any time it seems like they've got a disagreement, they can just pull it out, grab a taxpayer checkbook, and sue whoever they want to sue for anything that they think might be a socialist agenda. I don't think that belongs here in Bonner County, and I'm totally against it.
Okay. Well, I think you both set your positions up pretty well on that one. So let's turn to another issue. I think you go first this time, Steve Johnson, and that is the asphalt batch plant that is proposed for the Linscott property in Sagal. And you referenced this in your opening statement. Neighbors have filed lawsuits opposing the permits needed for that plant, and now it's actually developed that there's a proposed change to the Bonner County Mining Ordinance, which would allow the county to administratively approve permits for surface mines in specified districts throughout the county without holding public hearings that are currently required for such projects. So the issue, which was pretty localized as far as that proposed plant in Sagal, now actually it could end up affecting the rest of the county. And Steve Johnson, what is your take on this whole issue, and how would you deal with it as a county commissioner should you be elected? And then we'll come to Mr. Bradshaw.
Well, number one, the idea of shortcutting public input is reprehensible to me. We live in a republic, in a democracy, and public input is absolutely necessary. And whoever proposed that idea, they need to get back to the drawing board and scrap that whole idea. And number two, I grew up on this farm that I live on, and I don't want any industry next to me. I love the rural character that our county primarily has maintained, and that's how I would act as a county commissioner. And yes, we need jobs and we need industry, and we need to have a place for them to be, and we've got a place, and we can keep it in that kind of an environment. The idea of mixing them in with farms or residences or any place besides other industrial activities is something I'm just totally against.
Okay. Stephen Bradshaw, what is your position on the Linscott property?
Okay, the mining laws are state regulated. They're not regulated by the county. And so Mr. Linscott has brought all his permits, everything up to date. And regardless of what my opinion is, regardless of a petition and how many people sign it, that mine belongs to him. And with that comes property rights. And it also comes business rights. And so from the county perspective, by law, we have guidelines. If they want to move the interstate asphalt batch plant over there and they meet all the requirements by state, federal, and local, then we cannot deny them that permit to do so without a legal reason. We're going to need dump trucks to haul the money to him for the lawsuit that he's going to file on the county. So as a county, you know, even though we know that the next door neighbor may not like it, doesn't really want it there, the fact of the matter is the asphalt batch plant has been set there temporarily numerous times over the years, and there's never been a complaint. It's been over here off of Baldy Road in town, next to elementary school, two rest homes, a high-density neighborhood. Never one complaint, one dispatch call in the history of that plant. And they said their trucks were running at 2 o'clock in the morning, and come to find out it was a logging truck. That's the only complaint that has ever been on the plant there on Baldy. And so that being what it is, even though let's say that I was totally against it, I am still required by law as a commissioner to look at the facts and go, this man has a right to do this. He has met all the legal requirements. On what basis do I deny him? You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
We have laws we have to go by. We have to make those decisions based on law, not on how we feel, not on, you know, personal opinion. It's property rights and law, and we have to follow the law. It's not an option for us.
Okay. Follow-up from you, Steve Johnson, or?
Well, I'm a big believer in property rights, and industry is not the only outfit that has property rights. There's a whole bunch of us out here in the county that got property rights, and we darn sure are going to protect them, period.
Right. And you have the right to do that, and I'll stand right there and fight with you to help you protect those. But I also have to stand with the guy next door to you for his property rights. Now, if he builds a barn that's taller than you think he should build, you can complain, but the bottom line is he's not next to the airport, so there's really not a height restriction. He can build his barn because he has that right. And so, you know, we have to base it on law, not on what we think.
They're not building a barn. They're not building a barn, in
right.
my opinion. They're doing full-blown industry.
Just using that for an example.
That does not belong next to my farm, period.
Well, it's already an industrial site. It's been an industrial site long before I got here. I've been here 33 years.
Well, that's
and
that's
you've been here your whole life, and that plant's been there since you were a kid.
Okay, well, a judge will be deciding it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we've covered that one pretty well. Let's move on to another issue here. And I think, Stephen Bradshaw, you mentioned this, we'll let you go first. One of the most important functions in our county government is the maintenance and construction of county roads. How do you feel the county is doing with roads, and would you look for any changes in road and bridge operations?
We're updating our equipment all the time so that we get more miles to the gallon per hour. You know, the better your equipment, the more efficient you can work. Our safety record is above and beyond what it's ever been. These guys have been out when the windstorms come, clearing roads, helping with whatever. They were helping with the fire. I think we've got some of the best road and bridge guys in the Northwest. And like I said, the building season for them is a pretty short window. And so they get a lot done in the allotted time they have. And they've really been good at keeping their budget.
Okay.
I wish we had more budget and more equipment and more men, but that's going to require you to raise your taxes, and we're trying not to do that. And okay. Steve Clapp does really good getting grants for roads and stuff too, so that helps a lot.
Okay, same question over to you, Steve Johnson. Your take on bridge operations.
Yeah. I agree. When we first moved onto our Beers Humbert Road, it was just Beers Road at the time, there was grass that grew in the middle, and we had what was called mud vacation that lasted oftentimes 3-4 weeks where school buses couldn't run. And so, yes, the roads are vastly improved. And I agree with Stephen Bradshaw. The hats off to the workers. We had some really strong winds that just wiped out our little county road, certain sections. And they came in and cleared the whole thing. And and put it back so it was just as good, if not better, than it was before. So appreciate that. One thing I would look into and research if I was commissioner, and that is for the pickup trucks and maybe some of the smaller vehicles, look into the idea of electric charge stations and possibly even how much it costs to get the switch over, at least some of them, to electricity and reduce our carbon imprint, footprint. And then I would also like to see a rededication to the recycling program. I think I, as long as, and a lot of people were disappointed when they quit recycling, and I understand, according to the newspaper, it was a losing proposition financially. So I would encourage more research in that area to see if we couldn't come up with something that was at least break even.
Okay. Okay, well, let's move on to a kind of a corollary question on county transportation. Burlington Northern Santa Fe currently has underway construction of a second railroad bridge across Lake Ponderay. Some residents have raised concerns about an increase in train traffic and potential safety and environmental hazards. By one count, I think it's pretty accurate, there are 132 railroad crossings in the county on various roads that go across our railroad tracks. Most of those are without crossing arms. So, Steve Johnson, we'll go to you first with this. Do you see a role for our county commissioners to address concerns by residents about the increase in trains, and how would you like to see Bonner County Emergency Management prepare for potential derailments, especially of hazardous materials?
Well, I believe that the emergency management have already made some good plans, and that they can hopefully be prepared when it's time to, if it ever happens, if there's a spill. I actually think the second railroad bridge in some ways is like a freeway. You've got trains going hopefully in different directions, and there's no way they can run into each other. So I actually think the second railroad bridge, as long as they go slow and keep the track up good, that that it's actually going to be a good thing. What was the other part? Oh, the crossing arms. Out my way on Dufert Road and Heath Lake Road and some of the different roads out on the south end of the county, the crossing arms, I think, have really improved lessened the chances of somebody getting hurt. So hats off to, I actually don't know if the railroad did that on their own or if the county kind of urged them to do it or what, but I'm real supportive of what's happened there. And I think, to be real honest, the trains move things. I hate to see truckers get out of work, but I think the trains move things, for the most part, more safely and more with less pollution than the trucks do in a lot of cases. So I have a hard time being I'm pretty much pro railroad, I think, for the most part, as long as they continue being responsible, and hopefully will increase the crossing arms on the roads that still don't have them.
Okay. Stephen Bradshaw, same question to you. What is your take on increased train traffic and how the county might prepare for potential derailments that might cause safety or environmental hazards?
Well, Burlington Northern has a great working relationship with the county, and some of you, if you'd come across the Long Bridge last week, you would have seen some boats out there with some containment booms. They were doing a exercise in case of spills, and so that's an ongoing thing that they do with our emergency management, local fire departments, and so safety for BNSF has always been a top thing, and they've got a safety record. that's pretty much unsurpassed by any of the other railroad companies. And they are absolute wonder to work with. They're just a great organization to work with. They help out with a lot of other things too. The increased traffic as the country gets more people, more freight's required. The more freight that's required, the more train cars are going to go down the track. That's just part of growth, and that's something you grow with, or it leaves you in the dust behind. But the railroad is basically its own little country. They inform us what they're doing, but they don't ask us, can we do it? they already own that right away before Idaho was a state. So the railroad pretty much, they can do what they want, but they do, they go through all the environmental hoops, all the permits, all the bureaucracy dealing with the federal stuff. But they keep us up to date. They've got a person that keeps us up to date, brings us information, updates us on everything, and they're just they're absolute dream to work with.
Okay, Stephen Bradshaw, thank you for that.
And,
I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
Oh, well, they've put in a lot more cross arms over the last few years, just like Steve said, and that's something they did on their own. And I think they do it by numbers of cars that cross. They do their own survey, and it reaches a certain number, they throw up cross arms. I don't know what that magic number is, but I think that's probably what has dictated it.
Mm-hmm.
And as population increases on a crossing, you'll see them go up.
Okay. We have time for just a couple more questions for each of you, and then we'll have time for a closing statement from each of you. So next question, first to you, Stephen Bradshaw. Do you feel the county has struck the correct balance between taxes and services? Would you be looking to reduce taxes or increase taxes? If you did want to reduce taxes, what services might you eliminate to accomplish that?
I don't know that we would eliminate any services. That's our job. And we've worked really hard with our department heads, and they've really got on board. And the last couple of years, they've just done a really good job at streamlining, finding more efficient ways, to spend their time, more efficient ways to get the jobs done. And by doing so, we haven't had to raise the taxes the last 3 years. And so that's a plus. And that's the one good thing about growth. The new construction has covered the inflation rate, that you see every year regardless. And so because of new construction and the new things coming on the tax roll, we haven't had to raise the taxes. So that's been a plus, and it's made it a little better. But all the departments they've done just an excellent job.
Okay, same question to you, Steve Johnson. Do you think the county's struck the correct balance between taxes and services?
Well, I appreciate the services that are in the county, and I'm grateful that there haven't been increases. I know that services could always be better. It's kind of an ongoing thing with maintenance of the roads. I do guess my biggest concern is, where did this hundreds of thousands of dollars come from? Where was it before, and how can you just pull it out without public input and use it to sue somebody else? It's one thing to defend yourself, like was mentioned, with if somebody were to sue you for not letting them do what they wanted with their land, then you've got to defend yourself. That's understandable. But to go looking for, to go on the suit side just seems like a waste of taxpayer money. So I think that would be my only my only concern as far as misuse of taxpayer dollars goes.
Okay. Another question here. Do you support the allocation of county resources to the Bonner County Fairgrounds, and at what level? Do you think it's about the right level, or would you want to provide more or less support for the fairgrounds? And let's start with Steve Johnson on this one.
I remember the fair as long as I can remember. The fair has been one of the bright spots in the late summer, early fall. And so, yes, I fully support that, and I appreciate the county taxpayers supporting it, and I hope it continues at least to the degree that it has been. And, I think that's a good use of our taxpayer dollars.
Same question to you, Stephen Bradshaw. Do you support allocation of county resources to the fairgrounds?
I think it's probably one of the great resources that the county has. Everybody from wherever and whatever walk of life can go and enjoy the things at the fairgrounds. There's so many different things that go on there that there's something for everybody. And like Steve said, you know, it's been here forever, and it's kind of the highlight of the county. I wish there was more funds for it. Our Fair Board Director, Darcy, has done a great job at increasing activities and at raising funds and getting grants for more things. And so, yeah, I wish, you know, we had a big bucket that we could just pour funds that way just keep that thing busy year-round, because they're just, you know, it's just that much more fun stuff to do in the county.
Okay. Well, we're about out of time, but we do have time for a closing statement from each of you. And why don't we start with you, Steve Johnson, the Democratic candidate for commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you for setting this up and allowing us to have this discussion. And I am a lifelong resident and active citizen in Bonner County, and I have really enjoyed my work here. And I would like to help with the county commission. I'd like to ensure that there's no more lawsuits that are using taxpayer money that are not necessary. I would like to see public input in anything that would revolve around that. I would like to see a lot of public input on any land use zone code changes or proposals or whatever it might be. I'd like to see support for our scientific and medical community. We've got some excellent doctors and medical people, and they have no axe to grind. They're just doing what they think is the best for our health and safety. And I'd like to make sure that there's a lot of transparency in whatever happens in our county government so that the credibility remains high. Thank you.
Okay, Steve Johnson, thank you for that. Stephen Bradshaw, open mic here to make a closing statement.
Well, it's been one of the most interesting 2 years of my life. I've always been in something different besides the political realm, but commissioner is basically a manager job, and you manage the business of the county, and it's been a pleasure to work for the county and serve the community. I look forward to doing it for another 4 years. Will not hesitate to fight for the rights of the people of Bonner County, be they Democrat, Republican, or Libertarian, or nothing at all. They are all citizens, and they all deserve whatever we can get for them. And so I will continue to work hard to do what's right, what's legal, and to serve the people to the best of my ability. And it's been an honor to serve them for these 2 years, and would love to have your vote. Steve Bradshaw, District 1 Commissioner. And I want to thank you, Chris, for having this. As always, it's a pleasure working with you. And look forward to being here for another 4 years.
Okay. Well, Stephen Bradshaw, Republican incumbent for County Commissioner, and Steve Johnson, the Democratic candidate for County Commissioner. I want to say thank you to both of you for taking time to participate and help inform the voters. So I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's it for our show today. With the candidates for Bonner County Commissioner in District 1, Republican Stephen Bradshaw and Democrat Steve Johnson. Next Thursday, October 15th, we'll be interviewing the three candidates for Idaho House Seat B, so please come back and hear that. And please remember, all the Community Conversations shows are available as recorded podcasts on our website at www.krfy.org and click to the podcast page. You can also link up to these podcasts from the Sandpoint Online Election Central page at sandpointelections.com. I'm Chris Bessler. Please tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Thank you for listening today.